Digital Reader. On the app, on your smart, on X, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sports Cast. Expect the unexpected.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk presented by The Sports Cast.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk with Victor Orocha and Byron Jones. And here's your host, Victor Orocha.
Live out of Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and today, the Poconos in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk, hosted by Byron Jones and Victor Orocha, brought to you by The Sports Cast. Today is February 12th, 2026. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to The Sports Cast on all our channels, YouTube, X, Spotify, iTunes, and your favorite streaming services or podcast service. Look up the Jersey Boys Sports Talk. Please leave us a rating and a review. It'll help us out tremendously. If you like what you see today, smash the YouTube button. Get the notifications. We're streaming live every Thursday, 8 p.m., talking NFC East, NFL, and all around the league. And let's get ready to rumble, baby. Let's get it on. Mr. Byron Jones, are you ready for today?
Yes, I am. I got to get this out real quick. Today is my sister, Sonya Jones. Sonya Jones's 59th birthday. Hey, Sonya!
Man, Sonya, I thought you were like 42. I'm just telling you right now. I didn't know. You look 42 to me. You look awesome. So happy birthday, Sonya. Let's bring to the stage our fellow Perth Amboy buddy and pal and sports enthusiast and I don't know if it's confident or it's Uncle Froggy, Funky Froggy Wonder, and I think he's got glasses on because he's a Jet fan. So I'm gonna bring him to the stage. Say, Funky Froggy,
what's going on, fellas?
Welcome to the stage. Welcome to the Jersey Boy Sports Talk. Happy to see you.
I appreciate that, Vic. I like that intro, brother.
Shout out to Sonya. Just give Sonya
happy
birthday.
Yeah, I was going to say happy birthday. You guys wanted to beat me to it, but happy birthday, Sandra.
Sonya. So you already messed Sandra. Up her name, so we would beat you to messing up her name.
Oh, yeah. I messed up.
Yeah, I
messed up. You know how to let a brother say happy birthday
first. I am so sorry. Forgive me, please. I'm sorry. Happy birthday and many more.
See what happens here in live production?
Should be
what's that?
Should be texting me in a few minutes.
I got my boy. I got my boys live from Perth Amboy, New Jersey, of which none of us live there anymore.
But yeah, right? We don't even How about that?
State. We don't even live in the state, but we're still Jersey boys. You can take the boy out of Jersey. Hey. You can't take the Jersey out of the boy. You can't take the Amboy out of the boy.
So Jersey, hey, we're celebrating a 20-game winning season for the high school team over 30 years. So that's good. Good stuff.
Shout out to the coach and the Perth Amboy Panthers.
Yes, absolutely.
20-plus winning season in basketball. There was a time we dominated Middlesex County, and now hopefully we're making that run back. And
absolutely.
Then hopefully they're waiting for me to come back to be the head coach so I can turn around that football team. I have to bring Byron out of retirement, and then I'm going to light up the town, baby. So that's my retirement.
Let's do it. Byron, make it happen.
Let me be the head coach. And no, nothing against the coach, so we're clear. Nothing against the coach at all. It's just sometimes you just need a different flavor. You need a little bit of funds behind you. And I think, make it happen. If it was me, I'd make it a cutoff area for all alumni. Certain things nice. For them, I'd have a whole different event. For me, I'd go to every business. Your objective here is to put red, black, and white up in every store on every Friday and every game day. I'll light it up. Nice. We're going to make that town, everybody light up. Get everybody's varsity jackets back. We're going to get some fundraising going on, get some money on. And you got to build everything around those kids. And get as many.
You got me ready to move back to Perth Amboy, man.
You'll be there in the stands, that's for sure. All right, let's get ready to rumble. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl today.
Victor.
Yeah, go ahead, Byron.
Victor.
Yes, sir.
The head coach's name is Donald Reed, is the head coach. And the 21 season.
Donald Reed for basketball.
Throw another person. Yeah, for basketball. And the head coach for the girls is my man, Patrick Ricks.
My man.
Oh, really?
How the girls doing? Patrick.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're doing very well. Patrick.
That's what's up. Awesome.
I coached Patrick as a freshman. We went undefeated on the freshman team. I was defense. He was offense. And to this day, that young man calls me coach. That's
nice.
There's
nice.
Nothing more proud. Him, Darryl Cross. I mean, I can go through a line of young men that are, you know, in the 40s or 50s. And when they see me, they call me coach. And I have nothing but honor and pride.
That's mad respect. That's
a long time. Those guys are ballers. They weren't just.
Yeah.
It was coach. So I'm pretty proud of that. All right, let's get it on. Let's get on the Super Bowl here. All right. Let's go. In my opinion, one of the worst Super Bowls in history, right? 29-13 later in the game. Byron, give me your take on it. I think you went with the Pats like I did. Is that correct?
No, he had the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
I went with Seattle. Mm-hmm. Who'd you pick, Victor?
Pats.
What? I can't hear you. What'd you say?
I picked the Pats 24-21.
Oh, okay. That's 2 years in a row I got you. I got you 2 years in a row.
You do. I'm 0-2 in the Super
Defense
Bowl against Byron.
Championship.
You know, like the regular said, season, though, I'm crushing it.
Yeah, whatever, man. I got the most important thing during the end of the season.
That's
though,
true.
Super Bowl.
Got the Super Bowl.
Sam Darnold. That's right. Sam Darnold didn't lose the game. All he had to do was not throw any interceptions, not, you know, put the ball in harm's way. You know, they have a great, you know, top three defense, and, you know, they showed out. You know, the only thing I was a little that, you know, later on it came with where Will Campbell, the left tackle, was hurt. They said he was injured like six games ago and he tried to play through it. You know, if he knew that he was that hurt, maybe he should have, like, you know, stepped down or chill out, you know, but they got a lot of pressure on that one side. A lot of pressure.
Yeah, that defense was on fire. Let me tell you something. They were on fire. I was I want you to go next, and then I'll tell you my opinion.
Yeah, man. I mean, Patriots from the jump, they didn't have a chance. That defense was coming all night, and I, like Byron said, that line was skittish from the jump. I don't care who they had over there, they wasn't going to stop Seattle because, you know, they brought a lot of pressure, and I just think Drake was just running for his life. It was, they didn't have no one to stop that pass rush. And I think that's what did it.
Well, look, first of all, it was a terrible game, just globally, one. But two, and you know, it's sad because we're defensive players, so we should appreciate it. But, you know, when it comes to the Super Bowl, you do want to see some scoring. You want to see some, like, it's an offensive league. The last two Super Bowls were dominated by defense, right? This one was, like, super dominated by defense. But what I was disappointed was, and look, I had no dog in it. I'm happy for Sam Darnold, I'll be honest with you. So I don't really care, you know, whether I had the Pats or not. I just liked Vrabel, what he did in 1 year. You know, the story, he was a player. He won a championship. They brought him back. You know, so his story I liked. So Sam Darnold's as well. The thing that was just very disappointing is that, again, why Josh McDaniels is not that impressive, right? He had no answer. It was a terrible – the plays were terrible. Granted, they played phenomenal defense. Yes, pressure. They were getting on them. But, man, let me tell you something. They had more pressure and sacks on Drake May. But, Byron, come on. You're a defensive end. They were hitting Darnold. Like, they may not have sacked him, but he was getting hit, right? I was for sure I put money on that he was going to throw an interception because Drake was getting sacked. Darnold was getting hit. Like, it was a defensive game for both parts. Both teams were playing great.
Yeah, New England was in the game all the way up to the third quarter.
Like, they were in the game, exactly. Yeah. But if you go back and you see, you know, see some of the parts when he was pressured or so forth, Darnold was getting hit hard, and he still sustained it and didn't make – I mean, that's what I saw. I saw him getting hit harder than May, other than that May got sacked more than him. Any thoughts on that?
I agree. I mean, from what I saw, I'm like you, Vic. May was getting the pressure hit, and Darnold was more or less – barely getting the ball out, but he got the ball out a couple of times. If they would have jumped that route, they would have picked him off on a couple of throws he had. He was lucky. So, like I said,
Darnold, or are you talking about
May? Yeah, I'm talking about Darnold. Sam Darnold
had three times he should have been intercepted.
Because if they would have jumped that route. Stage.
Yep. Yeah. And what about the bobble ball with two defenders there?
Hey, like I said, he was. He played it like Byron said. He played a good enough game not to lose it. He played smart enough to not to lose it. And, you know, no turnovers, you know, like for Drake. Brand new feature. He was under pressure too much.
Byron, what are your thoughts about him getting hit? Like I was saying, he was getting hit. And he was close a couple of interceptions, but didn't get him.
Yeah, they didn't get him.
Anything, Byron? He's either frozen or he didn't feed the geese in Poconos. All right, we're going to move on. All right, let's go. Kenneth Walker was named Super Bowl MVP for rushing for 135 yards.
Pretty much.
On 27 carries. What do you guys think about him getting the MVP?
Yeah, he deserved it. He was running hard.
As our company branded, it's chocolate, white chocolate with lemon crushed cookie with our company logo on it that I just had made. So
I'm gonna have to buy
this from, give this away at a premiere.
You're gonna share some of that with us, Vic, or what? Why can't we have some?
I'm gonna share the yumminess of it. So what do you think? Oh. Okay, so I didn't realize he only had 135 yards. Okay, that's not a lot of yards. That's not impressive. Did he even have it? He had a touchdown, right? Did he have a touchdown or no? I think he scored one touchdown, right?
No. He had the one that, got called back. The big
one. Yeah, he had one that was cool.
All right, well, that's a good one. What do you think about that, Byron?
Seattle had the right idea. You know, the run really wasn't working, but they stayed at it. They kept trying running, and they kept doing it, you know, off the edges, you know, both sides, you know, either side of the edge. But they stuck with the run longer than the Patriots stuck with the run. And, eventually it's going to work. And you keep running the ball. And eventually, you know, like he did, he broke too long, you know, what, a 29-yard run and a 30-yard run. So it passed mix, and they were just fine, you know, the Seattle Seahawks.
But this is exactly the reason why they wanted Todd Monken, is that correct, fired from Baltimore, because they wouldn't have – if there's a guy that if I have to win that I'm going to give 27 carries to, it's Derrick Henry. And I will tell you something right now. Derrick Henry had 27 yards. He'd have 200 yards. Nothing to take away from Kenneth Walker at all. But he did his job. They gave him the ball. He's granted. Defense held him. But come on. What's wrong with the Ravens when they get into the playoffs and you have a beast in Derrick Henry and you give him the ball less than 20 times? This is a perfect example. That's how you play the game. And I even said it. Look, if they start getting like a little antsy because they're only getting field goals and they start putting it in Sam Darnold's hands, we got a problem. Because we agreed, Froggy, he should have been picked. But they did the smart game plan. Keep running the ball, Byron, just like you said. Keep running the ball, right? And you can't ask for anything better than that. But I didn't realize he only had 135 yards. That's not a lot of yards. Do you agree, Byron? This is not a lot of yards for an MVP.
That's a lot of yards for an MVP.
That's a lot of yards.
That's a lot of yards.
Let me see you run 27 times in the NFL and run for 135 yards.
27 times is a lot of carries.
That's a lot. He worked his butt off in that game, and deservingly so, because they controlled the whole thing.
Tell me which one you're talking about. Are you saying 135 yards is a lot, or are you saying 27 carries is a lot?
Both. I'm saying both is a lot. Both is a lot.
Like almost 5 yards a carry.
That's a lot.
That's 5 yards. That's 5 yards a carry. That's pretty good. 5 yards a carry is a lot.
Just saying, he was a workhorse. And you know what's so cool about that? His father never goes to the game. He never went inside the stadium. This was the first time his father went inside and saw his son play. And I thought that was so cool by, you know, his father, you know, getting to see his son play. And then he became MVP on top of it. Oh, man, it was just that's just awesome right there. You know, so
well,
tip my hat to the dude. And you know what? He's a hard running, short, little, stocky dude. You know, he come from Michigan State, like that Le'Veon Bell type of running back. Like he was waiting for his, you know, waiting on runs. He was he did the thing that Super Bowl. So he deserved that MVP. So if that I like that he won it. So and everything that goes with it. I didn't know if you knew that, his father.
No, what I do know that he's so quiet that he barely even breaks in the huddle. He's a very quiet person.
Yeah, hey, he don't run like he runs violently to me.
No, it has nothing to do with it, but he's just like quiet, like he's very reserved.
Yeah, soft-spoken, very right. Soft-spoken.
Hold on, let's go to the next one. Let's just look at something. Okay, hold on. Let's get to the next topic so I can do this.
You know,
because you know I'm doing some research, right? All right, let's go. Okay, Seattle's defense generated 6 sacks on the Patriots. 6, that's a lot. QB Drake May forced 3 turnovers, 2 interceptions, 1 fumble. Wow, 2 interceptions, 1 fumble. That defense was fire. We kind of talked about it, but let me tell you, they did a great job. Two things on this piece. What is Geno Smith thinking? What is Pete Carroll thinking? What is the Vikings thinking? Think about all the stuff that's taking place right there right now. Right? Because you know, Carroll is a consultant. You go to lousy the Raiders team, and you could have had another Super Bowl ring. You messed up on the second one you should have won.
Yeah.
But look at this,
yeah, but,
McCarthy. What do you think the Vikings are thinking now? I mean, they let go of Darnold, and Darnold was just game quarterback. He had it down. They don't know what McCarthy is. Do you think McCarthy's the future? And what do you think about the narrative of, you know, Geno Smith leaving, going with Pete Carroll? What do you think about the Vikings are thinking for letting go of both Sam Darnold and Dan?
Bye, yeah, man. Byron?
Teams are nothing but. I figure, you know, Geno probably left because he wanted, you know, they wasn't going to give him whatever he's going to get, you know, with Seattle. So he took a better deal, you know, with the Raiders, you know, to get his money. You know, that's what it's about, you know, when you're getting toward, you know, the end of your career. And then the poor, you know, the Vikings, you know, struck out. You know, they had Daniel Jones there. They had McCarthy, you know, they drafted him. And, you know, Sam Darnold. And now Sam goes to another team, you know, like over the last 2 years, he's won 14 games both years. He's won a lot of games, this guy. And, you know,
for he's him to 20, be basically, you know, he's like 28-6, dude.
Let's bring up this other key issue that the New York, there was 5 guys that played for the New York Giants were also on the Seattle team. There was 5 of them that are getting the ring down.
Okay, so I just want to give you some history.
Leonard
Williams. All right, so I stand corrected, okay, on that 135 yards is small, right? But let me tell you some numbers, okay? Zonka had 145, wasn't much, but he had 2 TDs, 33 carries, okay? This was in the day when there was no offensive pieces, right? Franco Harris, 158 yards, 34 carries, 1 TD. Riggins, 166 yards, 38 carries, one TD. Raiders, Marcus Allen, who lit it up, 191 yards, 20 carries. And only 20 carries, two TDs.
Yeah, one of them was a 60-yard touchdown.
Exactly. Otis Anderson, 102 yards, 21 carries, one TD. So Emmitt Smith, 132, 30 carries, two. Right? So let's go. And
keep going.
Terrell Davis, 157.
I hear what you're doing, man.
Three TDs. Three
I see what you're doing. So everything you
one.
Those guys were big running backs.
Other than, wait a second, other than Marcus Allen, who had that big run.
Yeah.
And Otis Anderson, right?
He's a big running back.
Kenneth Walker is number three in the least amount of carries and is number one with the only running back MVP without a touchdown. The only one out of, what, 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So,
listen.
Hey, I like the kid. I'm happy that he got it.
Yeah, but look at the size. All the running backs that you named in the beginning were big running backs. They were workhorse running backs.
All the guys that we named in the beginning, the league was built that way. They weren't built around really throwing and all.
Yeah, they wasn't throwing the ball like they throw now. So, I see what you're saying. And Kenneth Walker is a smaller running back than – you know, some of the running backs.
The argument was in our size. Don't throw another element in the game.
I don't want to make the
argument was 27 carries, zero TDs, and 135 yards. I didn't think 135 yards was a lot. I stand corrected, but in comparison to the other ones, it's within the range there. But everyone else had a lot more carries.
Right? Yeah.
Marcus Allen lit it up for a long yard. Except for one guy. So I'm going to tell you the reason why. Look, I'm okay with him winning it, but this is all about looking at things from different narratives. That's all I'm trying to do right now, right?
Yeah.
And no TDs. And then I want to get into something. Let's go right into the thing that I had today. Go ahead, Byron.
Wait. You left one guy out. The guy that has the one that had the most yards at a Super Bowl was Timmy Smith with the Washington Redskins back in the day. He had 204.
And it didn't give me him. So Jim and I don't have it. Maybe only gave
the he's top dog.
What year?
It had to be in 80 something.
88.
I played against him in college. He played at Texas Tech too.
He's not on this list.
I want to say the 80s, Byron.
He was an MVP.
Huh?
He was an MVP.
Who? Timmy Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think he wasn't.
Well, according to Gemini, it's saying that these are all – everyone I listed is according to Gemini. Since 1974 to 2026. Maybe he had what you said.
He did. He had 204 yards. I remember that.
That's my point. That's MVP. Even if you don't score a touchdown, right? I'm going to tell you why I got into that, okay? So let me just get into this here. So I'm going to tell you why, because here, Jason Myers set a Super Bowl record with 5 made field goals, okay? That's not even really the full picture. He's the only kicker in Super Bowl history in 60 years to go 5 for 5 in field goals. Okay.
Money.
The only argument I was making with the group of people we were with, and they were from laughing and this and that. And I'm like, look, outside of Nen, you got an interception for a touchdown, then the throwing pass for a touchdown, and so forth. And I'll tell you the other argument they made that was pretty good. But I was saying, look, when he had 4, there was only 4 other kickers that have ever went 4 for 4. When he hit the 5th one, that was his 5th one. My question to you is, if they don't score anymore, running, throwing, or whatever, do you think the kicker should have been entitled to a shot at the MVP?
I don't see why not. I mean, he's a player out there contributing with points. I mean, didn't Al Vellatieri win a Like, did he for the New England Patriots or something? Oh, no. Did he win MVP?
He did a lot of game-winning field goals, but I don't believe he won. Oh. It's like Julian Edelman, Deion Branch, Tom Brady. Those were the guys that were winning
Super. Yeah, Bowl. I don't know. I'm in an argument.
Those guys thought I was crazy, off the wall, and I'm like, dude, this guy He broke history. No kicker in the history of the Super Bowl has went 5 for 5 with 5 field goals. He was 100% accurate.
Yeah, he would have to kick a couple from about close to 60 to get the MVP, though. He can't kick them from 20 and 30.
Field goals are field goal, right? We've seen extra points missed.
He can't get it there.
So you're saying if they would have won 15-0, right, 15-7, that and no one else scores, that you don't put him in the top three to get the MVP?
He get it because he scored all the points. He's going to win MVP. He scored all the points.
Byron, go ahead, Byron.
Nope.
But can't give me more than
the defensive guys?
This is the defensive guys, right?
Won the MVP. You figure
out. Only one defensive guy.
Witherspoon.
I thought Richard Dent was the only defensive player.
Harvey Martin and Reggie.
Didn't the Cowboys have two of them? Cowboys. Yeah, the Cowboys had two guys win it.
Defensive guys?
Yeah, two defensive guys won it.
I thought Richard Dent was the only one in the first one.
They could go back even further. Chuck Howley, Dallas Cowboys. Chuck Howley is the only player to win MVP on a losing team for the Dallas Cowboys.
If it was up to me, I think in both Super Bowls, the defense should have gotten the MVP. I mean, because that Seattle defense was phenomenal. They were deserving it.
Yeah. I agree. They were good.
Okay, they have defensive Super Bowl MVPs, but that don't make sense. No. Chuck Howley.
Yeah. Randy White.
I don't remember these guys. Right, I know Richard Dent. Yeah, this has to be it. Then there's a lot more than that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players. Dexter Jackson got it in 2003 with the 2 interceptions. Ray Lewis got it. Yep. Larry Brown, Richard Dent. Yep. I remember Richard Dent. Harvey Martin. Randy White has an asterisk on his name for some reason. What's the asterisk?
Yeah, because they both wanted it. It was in the same year. Reggie White and Harvey Martin won it in the same game.
Yeah, Harvey Martin and Randy White.
Cole.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. So you're saying it could have went to a defensive player, Brian Byron? I'm okay with it. I'm saying to you is I was just making an argument of the possibility. They thought that was far-fetched. And look, Byron, here's what I don't understand. I didn't realize the value of a kicker, right, until my sophomore year. My fraternity brother, the John Matos, who ended up transferring to Kane, which broke my heart, right? But he had to go for the reasons he had to go, right? We won a game 9-6 against a top-ranked team, right? They scored, I think, a touchdown, missed an extra point, and John kicked 3 field goals, and I had 2 interceptions. Okay. After that season, he was a freshman, I was a sophomore. After that season, right, we barely could put up points and we never had any kickers that could kick field goals. That's when I realized how valuable just getting me some points from the defensive side was so important. Because we lost games 5-0. I mean, it was ridiculous. You can't put up points. So that's the only reason I'm saying – I'm not saying that's who I would have rooted for. Personally, I think defense, but they won't give the whole defense the MVP for whatever reason. Is there a reason why? Byron, because then you have to pay him all that money. Is that what it is? But, you know, I think everyone on that defense – defense is more of a unit than anything else, and they played like a unit. Defensive backs were getting sacks. Yeah, were rushing. They did everything possible. But again, my argument was if no other places – why he wouldn't have had the opportunity, at least in the top three in the voting of possible MVP.
Yeah, he might have had, Vic. You never know.
No, that's a question for us. I'm not asking that it was there. I'm asking for us. They feel that way.
They had three guys that could have been MVP on defense. Witherspoon, the cornerback, played a great game.
Yes.
One of the defensive tackles had two sacks, and I think one of the ends had two sacks as well. So it could have been one of those three on defense, you know, instead of the kicker. That's what they probably gave it to Spoon. Witherspoon was the best player in the field by far.
Well, then I would have gave it to him over a guy who didn't score any touchdowns. That's all, right? And again, nothing to take away from the young man. It's just I just think the defense won that game. Both defenses played lights out. And they put the lights out when they got interception. They put the lights out when they got the fumble. Think about everything the defense did. They dominated that game. So I just wanted to bring that up. I'm not saying I'm married to that. I'm not saying he deserved it and the other guy didn't get it. I am not saying that. I'm just saying that, in the same breath, how many times have you seen teams – bring the kicker and put him on their shoulders because he wins the game-winning field goal? Why is it so important then? But putting up 5 for 5, breaking history, is not as important? I don't get it.
It probably, like I said, Vic, it probably was. But he they took Sam Darnold and Walker. I'm quite sure he got some votes probably, you know?
No, I don't care about the votes. I want to see how you guys felt about it. I'm
would have had a bit of
defense. Byron, do you agree? As long as you're putting up points, you're on the field, you're holding out of the team, that kicker comes out there, you want him to make it.
Of course.
You'll take any.
But I still would have given it to the defensive guy.
No, the defense was first for me. Okay, let's just put it that way. And any of those three guys, I would have given it to. Then would have been the kicker. Then somebody on offense. That's how I'm looking at it. But that's not how it came out. And I barely know the kicker. I was just saying logically, to break Super Bowl history, you should have had a shot. So anyhow, I wanted to see what your thoughts were on that. And
if he would have kicked two field goals from 60 yards, he would have got the MVP.
So yours is he got 5 field goals, but he had to kick a couple ones that were long, like Aubrey from Dallas. That's your argument.
Yes, so that's right.
The same 5 field goals, but 2 of them from 60 yards or further, then you would have gave it to him?
Yep.
Byron? All right, to me, 3 points is 3 points.
Nope.
You already commented about Marcus Allen having 60-yard run. All right. We'll leave that alone. I just want to be going on record that I wasn't crazy. I think he had the chance to, even though other people could have gotten it too. That's it. There's nothing more than that. Scoreless Patriots were scoreless for 3 quarters, finally getting on the board in the 4th. I think that's a record too. There's only a few teams that have gone scoreless in 3 quarters. Again, I think McDaniels called a lousy game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Lousy game. I mean, it just – they had nothing. You couldn't answer anything on that. And the sad part is the only reason I picked the Patriots, because I thought – I felt that the Rams exposed their defense. Because outside of that – drop punt return, Rams should have been in the Super Bowl. And they were lighting it up. So I just like, okay, well, so what's going on with the defense, right? They couldn't stop Sam Darnold. Now, they stopped him at the end, right? They tricked him out, but he was on fire, man. He was on fire. What do you think about the point scoreless through 3 quarters, Byron? Remember, that time it was right, that time was four, it was 12-0 or 15-0?
19-0 or something?
No, because it was 5 field goals.
No, they scored a touchdown at 7, 3 points.
No, 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 no. The first 5 scores were all field goals.
Then they got the interception return for a touchdown. And then the tight end caught one. They went one pass.
Yep. And then they got that fumble that led. I don't know if it led to anything, but they still got a fumble. So they stripped them. All right. Let's keep going. All right. This was a terrible. What did you – time of possession. Look at – time of possession wasn't that bad. I mean, Byron, how many times have we seen time of possession this year where the other team had the ball for a whole quarter more? Right? What are you talking about?
A whole bunch of times.
4 or 7 minutes, half a quarter, right? A lot of times we've seen teams that had the ball for an entire quarter. Right? So that's good there. Let's go. Turner is reputable. We have that. I don't really care about that. All right. Sam Darnold finished 202 yards is so bad. Yards and one TD, avoiding any turnovers. I think that was the key. Giving that ball, giving Kenneth 27 carries was the smartest move they could have done.
Yeah, they were better coached up to that for the Super Bowl. Like you said, the Patriots' play calling was terrible. Seemed like Seattle was just – it was just their day, man. They came in ready, coached up their defense.
I don't know why the Patriots didn't put that young kid in and running back they got from
– Henderson. Like, they didn't even use Henderson on kickoff returns or nothing. I'm like, this is – like, everything the Patriots did through the regular season, they didn't even try half of it during the Super Bowl. Like, Henderson should have been used more. They had a couple, I don't want to say one good run with Stevenson, and that was it, man. It was terrible. Like, they couldn't get Diggs the ball or nothing. It was terrible.
I think Byron said it best. I mean, let me see what the stats were.
They could have ran a couple of bubble screens, some quick plays out.
They didn't give them Diggs. They didn't stick to the run. You know what I mean?
And like I said, they didn't even, like, once they kept stopping them, they gave up on the run. They literally gave up on it, to tell you the truth.
Like, you put Henderson in the game, run, off tackle with him, run, screen passes. He's explosive.
Screen passes or something.
Or something. But, I guess because they were getting back so quick, they couldn't do anything.
That's why I said if he would have played, as a play caller, if them guys are rushing that, sometimes they're just bringing four guys. So, set up a little screen, try to, they let them rush you fast and boom, quick screen, bam. Or like those jet sweeps. Like, they didn't do nothing to me.
But Seattle.
But guys, look at these numbers.
Played a lot of zone.
Look at these numbers. This number on paper looks so much better. Game. Check this out. Total yards, 331 Pats, 335 Seattle. Passing yards, 252 Pats, 194. 141 rushing to the Seattle, 79 to Pats. That's where they weren't running the ball. It wasn't working. Okay? They averaged 4.7 per play. Seattle, 4.9 for Patriots, right? First down, 20 Seattle, 18 the Patriots. Third down conversions, 4 for 16, 6 for 15. So they were a little better. Both of them had 0 fourth down conversions. Number of plays, 71 versus 67. I mean, this game on paper looked a lot better than it did in the game. The biggest thing was 6 sacks allowed versus 1. 9, look at both teams, they had 15 punts in the game. 25, the penalties weren't bad. 3 for 25, 4 for 25, not a lot. But look, it's the turnover. One fumble, the Patriots. 2 interceptions, Patriots, right? And one was for a touchdown. Yep. Right? Time of possession wasn't bad. Tackles, 42-42. Field goals made, 5 for 5, 0 for 0. Okay, red zone, 1 of 4. 1 for 1. They were in the red zone. I mean, that's some hell of a defense on the Patriots side. Their offense was just atrocious.
Yeah, Gonzalez, He played his butt off for the Patriots, man. That DB is he's special, man. He literally kept the Patriots in this game because Ajigba, he had him like locked down. Like you didn't hear his name a lot
twice,
pretty much. So I thought he played a good game. The corners for the Patriots were balling, especially Gonzalez.
So check this out. On the Patriots side, they didn't have one rusher with double-digit carries.
That's what I said. I mean,
what's wrong with that?
Like I said, Stevenson usually carries the ball about 12, 15 times. He didn't even get the ball but 12 times. I don't know. I thought he had 12 carries. How many carries did Stevenson have?
You didn't know. Less than 10.
He got to be up to 9. I thought he might have had about, you know, 4, like 3 every quarter they gave it to
Stevenson
him.
Stevenson had 7. May had 5. And Henderson had 6.
6 for Henderson didn't even seem like he even got the ball. What do you have, minus yards?
No, he had 19. The other guy had 23. They're averaging 3.3. I don't understand. 3 times 3 times 3 times 3 is 12 yards. That's a first down. I think they got out coached. I think Vrabel, I don't know what Vrabel was thinking. He was hoping his defense would pull something through. I think offense.
They were waiting for Sam Donald. Terrible.
Yeah.
They were waiting for Sam Donald to make a mistake, and he didn't. And I think they played the game. They played the game to see if he was going to see ghosts. He didn't see no ghosts, and he played smart enough to not to turn the ball over. So
is that why you got some last line? Because you've seen ghosts.
Hey,
there you go. Froggy Wonder. All right, let's get into some Jets stuff. Anything else on the Super Bowl? Because it was just terrible.
Terrible.
It was just terrible, 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 terrible. And I think Byron hit it on the head. You know, I don't understand how any team could possibly think. I'm going to look this up while you guys talk next. How you could have all your rushers have less than double digits rushing and expect to win a game.
It ain't going to happen. Not in the NFL.
I just don't understand that.
Yeah.
And you panic. You know, there was no reason to panic in that game up until the after the third quarter. It was only it was still only a 2-score game. So I just think they were outcoached. They were outcoached. I don't know if Vrabel panicked. I don't know if he didn't want to override his offensive coordinator for the first year. I don't know. But that was terrible. Anything else on this, guys, before we move on to some Giant stuff?
That's why he's an offensive coordinator and he's not a head coach. Like, that's all I can say about that.
Well, by the way, real quick question. What team was Darnold on when he was seeing ghosts?
The Jets.
Byron, you know.
That's not right. That's not
right. You know what I'm talking about. I just want to make sure.
Hey, listen. Hey, hold up. We're going to go into the Jets. Oh, that's not right. We have one quarterback.
Froggy wasn't on the show.
We have one quarterback that's seen ghosts, and then we had the butt fumble. So we got some history with our quarterback.
Oh my God! Sorry, I just had to throw that in. We're seeing the Giants are hiring former Titans head coach Brian Callahan as their new QB coach and passing game coordinator. Interesting. Byron, thoughts on that?
That man been around for years.
Good hire. No, this is his son.
Oh, it's his son. Yeah, all right.
This is his son that was the. Yeah,
I thought it was the dad.
The dad was a great offensive line coach.
Yeah, the line coach. That's right.
I think it's a good hire. You know, I think this is a good hire because I was going to give Jackson Dart, our wonderful quarterback, more people to lean on at that position. So I think this was a good hire, you know, and, you know, he has experience as a head coach. You know, he's not going to come in there and try to take over because Harbaugh had to let somebody take over. So it's a good hire.
Yeah, I'm happy there. Not only that, it's Harbaugh's making some moves, man. I mean, look at it. We're going to keep going. Harbaugh continues to round out his staff by adding QB expertise and head coach experience. So he's doing the Tomlin. He's trying to gear this up where, you know, how we talked about Tomlin and not developing coaches. Tomlin was helping other coaches out. Brian Flores, he was resurrecting coaches' careers, coming in, bringing guys with head coaching experience. I like what Harbaugh's doing right now. And then look what they're doing on here. So you got John Harbaugh continued to round their staff, adding QB expertise. I read that already. Look at this one. John Harbaugh, head coach, offensive coaching staff. Giants head coach, John Harbaugh, coach staff. OC, Matt Nagy. Senior offensive assistant, Greg Norman. QBs, Brian Callahan. Running backs, Willie Taggart. Wide receivers, Chad Hall. And tight ends, Tim Kelly. Offensive line, Mike Bloomgren, right? That's a pretty good round-out coaching staff, Byron. What do you think?
Yeah, a lot of those guys were, you know, head coaches at one time. I think Nagy was head coach. Greg Roman was like an interim head coach, maybe. Callahan with Tennessee. Willie Taggart with Florida State. Bloomgren was like a college coach. So, yeah, that's a lot of experience there. You know, and the guys that are not – that won't feel a certain kind of way when a coach, you know, says something to them or you know, wants them to do things a certain way.
I'm happy what he's doing, but my point being is he's making moves quick. See the difference when you're in charge of hiring, right? He ain't going to Joe Shane. This is all Harbaugh. Right, I'm happy. I'm happy with the moves he's made. Look at this. Jackson Dart will be surrounded by three quarterback-minded minds who have worked with. Look at the guys they've worked with: Peyton Manning, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Stafford, and Alex Smith. That's a pretty good resume right there.
They're all pocket quarterbacks too, except Lamar Jackson. But
exactly. Except for Lamar Jackson, but they're all good quarterbacks.
Yeah, they're pocket quarterbacks. They go in the center. And I think, you know, a lot of quarterbacks, they play out of that shotgun. It's like giving the play away pretty much. When you get underneath that center, the defense really don't know what you're going to call because it could be a lot of stuff you can use from under the center. And I think they're going to probably try to use them and try to get him to go into the center like Lamar Jackson. He didn't want to do that in the beginning, so, you know, he got comfortable going under the center. So that plays a role, too, as a young quarterback. You know, going under that center, you got to learn a whole different offense, so it means a lot. So
well, I think that's better. They're doing a better job than what they did with Daniel Jones. They're surrounding this kid with putting him in a position to succeed.
Right. Like they're I said, coaches.
They're giving him great coaching. They're giving him good experience. He's got some guys around him. You know, I think we're going to make some noise in the next couple of years, Byron. You got to feed those pigeons.
But, you know, the only thing, like with Jackson Dart. Yeah, I know. I'm up in the bushes, man. What do you expect, man? Like bushes. Oh man, go ahead.
Hey, all we heard is only about Jackson Dart, and you stopped, and you went cold turkey.
Jackson Dart, you know.
You would think that I'm doing this to him on purpose, Froggy.
I don't know, Vic. I can't hear him.
That's what I'm saying. You would think I'm doing this to him on purpose. The first time he actually talks for a long time, his mic goes up. All right, let's keep going. All right, tight end decides that he's not returning to Browns. Browns are a disaster. Okay. Harbaugh is widely expected to pursue Ravens center. Look at this. This is the other thing I like, Byron.
He's going after line. He's doing free agency. Exactly. He wants a premier interior offensive lineman poised to command top dollar. And you know how important a center is. Still can't hear you, Byron. Can't hear you. Oh, Byron, you killed me, bro. All right. What do we got there? All right, so Fry, tell me what exciting stuff you got happening with the Jets over there, man.
Man, it's hard to say, Vic. You know what I'm saying? We got a couple of draft picks, first round. You know what I'm saying? We got a little leverage. We can go after a quarterback. They got a lot of stuff they can do. So I'm hoping that they're patient enough to draft some good players on defense. And try to sign Priest Hall, hopefully Garrett Wilson can come back healthy.
Yeah, a little bit, Byron, a little better. Say something. No, you're gone again.
I guess you can't hear me.
I can hear you now.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, we can hear you now. Get it out.
Say what?
Are you talking?
Can you hear me now?
Go ahead, Byron.
Can you hear me now? Oh, the center that you were just talking about, Tyler Lindenbaum, we should have picked him up 4 years ago because he was a top-ranked center coming out of college. We should have had him 4 years. He's been an all-pro like two or three times. So that's where you start. You work from the inside out with an offensive line. And if they get him, that's a good, that's a good pick.
And let me find it. Right there, Byron. Remember, we've been saying that work inside out. We've been working on both lines. Now we're finally getting a center. We're getting someone that's stable there.
We should have signed him. We should have drafted him 3 years ago.
Who's the GM back then? 3 years ago? Byron?
4 years ago. 4 years ago.
Who's the GM? Ooh, we got comments. DJ Mack back in the house. Myers should have gotten the MVP. Too bad there isn't a defensive MVP. Oh, you go here. Isn't that one of the guys you picked?
What, the kicker?
That's the kicker, isn't it? Huh? That's the kicker, isn't it?
Yeah, Myers is the kicker, yeah. Yep.
I don't know who he's talking about. I'm going to get that one out. Who's he talking about?
He's talking about, Brian Callahan.
Brian.
He's talking about Callahan.
DJ Mack, welcome back to the show, buddy. I'm sorry I missed your comments. Thank you. That's funny. All right, let's get this one off here. All right. So this is the guy you were talking about, right? So Byron, look, I'm happy. If we can get a center and that we're paying top dollars, that's number one. We need to protect Jackson Dart. We can't have him coming up the middle. So when we play, against teams that have good rusher that's going to come up the middle, we need him protected. Give him nobody in his face. Yeah, nobody in his face. Let him do what he does. Let's hope they teach him to slide or Harbaugh sits him, one or the other.
You better teach him how to slide and get out of bounds.
Get out of bounds and slide, exactly. I'd pull him. All righty. So let's see. Hopefully your Jets will be doing something around the league. We'll see what's going on. Again, Super Bowl just was disappointing. I mean, had a nice time. We had a nice time here, but it wasn't a fun Super Bowl. And, I'm happy for Sam Darnold, to be honest with you. Think about it. When they won their division, the Vikings had him on their shoulders, and they got rid of the guy.
Yeah, they did.
Byron said.
Yeah. He went in the locker room, they were throwing 4 years.
He went 28 games.
Hey, they fired the GM. Yep. That Sam Darnold should have never got out of that building, and they fired the GM. So, hey. That's what happened, man. He got what he got. That's right. He got God. He's out of there.
All righty. Well, Miss Sonia Jones, happy birthday once again.
Yes, for sure. Happy birthday, young lady.
Enjoyed your day. Hope you have an awesome weekend. You should have a birthday. Happy weekend. You have a very nice weekend.
For her birthday. Can I say something for her birthday?
Sure.
She's a huge New York Knicks like I am. And we got this player called Jose Alvarado. Okay. His nickname is Grand Theft Alvarado. We're coming. New York Knicks, we coming. And I just want her to know that our defensive intensity is about to pick up after this All-Star break. The New York Knicks will be in a position to start fighting for this title and bring something back home to New York as a championship deservingly needs in New York. So
when was the last time
that's what I had to say for her. Huh?
When was the last time we won an NBA championship?
1973, 74.
So bringing it back, a little bit different types of words, no?
Hey, listen. It's a step. It's steps to it. So, you know, we can bring it back from New York. Hey, it's okay, Vic. It's all good.
All of us were under double digits in age.
Hey, no, I wasn't. Yeah. I was 13 years old when they won. I was 13. 73? What are you talking about?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, 74. I was 13.
That's when they had Walt Frazier in that squad, right?
He came to Shell School. Do you remember that?
I didn't go to Shell
School. You wasn't living here then, Bob.
No, I was at Holy Spirit.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. I'm a Catholic. Okay.
No, because he came to Shell School back in the day.
Yeah, no, I was a Catholic school boy. I was at Holy Spirit.
Well, they had St. Mary's in Amboy, right? You know what I'm saying?
And Holy Rosary, Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
We only had two high schools, though. We only had St. Mary's and Amboy High.
Yeah, but then I went to high school for sports.
Yeah.
But, all right, gentlemen, I hope you guys enjoy your Valentine's weekend. Tomorrow is Friday the 13th, which is usually a good day.
Yeah, that's going to be the best day, right before Valentine's Day. You know, exactly. That's the best thing.
You know, blessings to your significant others, and enjoy the weekend. Thank you again, Froggy, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Vic. Thanks, Byron.
Let's see what we're going to do in this offseason, man. But I like what's happened with the Giants, and then we'll have to figure out what we're going to be doing next. All right, gentlemen, you have a good week.
Thank you, Vic. Appreciate you. Love you guys.
Talk to you guys soon. Peace.